اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد.
The Naat was again about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The part that was repeated many a time, Mawlaya, O my Master, meaning Allah, Salli wa Sallim, then send your salutations, meaning put special attention. Peace upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sending this to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is opening up a relationship between us, to be able to get from him what he is getting from Allah. That even if we don't say it, he is getting it from Allah. But every time we say it, then we allow ourselves to get it from him, what he is getting from Allah. So the tap that flows upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that flows whether the world remembers him or the world doesn't remember him. For Almighty Allah's fountain, when it falls on someone he loves, then there's no one to shut that fountain. So even if the whole world stops saying sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the fountain upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will never stop. Then from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam there are taps. And those taps open up to different individuals in the world when they want to open the tap. So that's why they say they put a valve. So you shut the valve, the water carries on flowing, but it doesn't come into your direction. To open the valve is our job. To make sure the water continues coming. For that day, a person's relationship with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam must be of a few. One is his words. His tongue must have the dhikr of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that is why people would read na'ats, poems in the praise of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, their tongue. That is why people would say sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is why the muhaddithin enjoy teaching ahadith, so that their tongues could be used, speaking about, thinking about, discussing about, everything about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the tap remains open. But the tongue can't be used all the time. So then there is the second, which is called, one is qal, the tongue, one is hal, the condition. A man's condition must be such that his body is like the body of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that is why it was thought that what is my sunnah, you adopt that sunnah. So you look like me, you walk like me, you talk like me. Every place you're going to make a decision, you immediately think of me. You say, my Allah's Nabi would have done it less. My Allah's Nabi would have said it like this. So as you are in that, your hal now becomes, so the tap remains open. Sometimes it's your qal. Sometimes it's your hal. Then there is the need to sleep. So there we were taught, then you will sleep like me. So even the sleep, the tap remains open. Then there is the time to go for istinja. At that time, normally all taps of goodness are supposed to close. But there also he said, enter the toilet like me, do like me, sit like me, istinja like me. So the tap remains open. Live like me, you will die like me. So this entire thing became a qal and a hal. And every time that man reads a naat, or every time that man engages in salawat ala nabi with the tongue, it's a reminder for the body that I have praised the Nabi of Allah. But naturally the tongue, it gets very busy during the day doing other things. So it's telling the rest of the body, I did my part, what about you? Because the body has to do the part most of the day. And the tongue will manage little of the day. So whenever you will hear a naat, and you will get happy and you will read, Mawlaya salli wa sallim, whenever you will engage in salawat ala nabi, also remind the body that my tongue has done lot to keep the tap open. Now my body needs to do its part. The body is from the top to the bottom. For a woman to be able to dress how Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted her to dress. So the body has done its part. And for a man, a boy, my hair must be how he would like my hair to be. My beard must be how he would like my beard to be. My eye must move where he would want it to move. I am his khadim, like how Anas radiallahu anhu was his khadim. The only one is a khadim in front of him. One is a khadim years after him. So my hal, my qal. Then comes my fikr. Fikr means my thoughts, my concern. My concern must be like his concern. My concern must be like his concern. So a qal is something you can hear. So everyone hears it, you hear yourself. A hal is something you can see. My condition must be like my Nabi's condition. Then there is something called a thought, a concern. I think about Medina Munawwara. I think about his mission. I think about what made him happy, what made him sad. That's my thought. Business comes in front of me. I do business. But I say, my Allah's Nabi wasn't interested really in business. He was not really interested in business. So I think how he thinks. I'm concerned. You mustn't drink in front of me. I'm supposed to drink in front of you. Next time I'll bring for you biscuits. You want biscuits? No, you sure? I'm talking, you're getting thirsty. Imagine you had to be talking. No problem. So my thoughts, my fikr, my concern. Now if I can get the three right, my qal, my hal, and my concern. So it's my brain, it's my body, it's my tongue. If these three things can combine to be absolved in the thought of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then when the tap is open, it will affect three parts of my body. It will affect my tongue, which is the most important, because that's what I can hear. It will affect my body, it will move through my lungs, and it will affect my mind. From the three of it, everything will dissolve then into the heart. And that heart then remains a heart linked to Rasulullah ﷺ. When that happens, then there is what is called a nisbat. A person becomes a siddiq. Siddiq means, like how we had Abu Bakr as-siddiq, where his heart, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, loved him so much. So the scholars would describe him, there was something that came in his heart. Shay'un wuqtira fi qalbi Abi Bakr. Something pegged itself in the heart of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, that was the Nabi of Allah. Our heart needs to get that peg. But three things you work on, your tongue must speak about him. Your body must resemble him. And you must think about him or about what he would think about. Meaning his mission, his worry must be our worry. Obviously, it's very hard to get it all at the beginning. But if you start when you're young, my tongue, my condition, and my thoughts, and then you will become a mirror image, and may Allah make us all, of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When that happens, you become a mirror image in your thoughts, in your hal, in your mind. Then Allah Ta'ala in this world operates or gives examples just like how me and you understand examples. Otherwise Almighty Allah is free from being likened to anything in this world. But an example that Allah allows for man to understand the being of Allah. So one example scholars have given is that if a person loved someone, loved, and was separated from that person because of some accident. So that mother example goes in a shop and she had lost her child when he was of the age of 5 or 6, where she was so close. But in the shop she sees another child that looks very much like her child. So more than she worries about what she came to buy, she gets inclined towards the child. And then she wants to speak to the mother. And then she wants to ask the child, what's your name? How old are you? I say, same age of my child. He was this age when I lost him. And you say, so amazing, that same cloth that I bought for him. Same cloth. So amazing. Same clothing he was wearing. That same shoe. Say, you look just like my beloved. You look just like my beloved. And then when he talks, he sounds like her beloved. So she gets more excited. You talk like my beloved. You look like my beloved. And then she asks him, what do you like? What do you think about? And he says, I like this. My beloved like that. Meaning you think like my beloved. You talk like my beloved. You look like my beloved. Finally, what she'll say, you are my beloved. You are my beloved. You say, auntie, I don't even know you. She says, you don't need to know me, but you look like who I knew. You don't need to know me, but you look like who I knew. And because of that day, she'll ask that woman, the mother of the child, where you live? And if this is a very wealthy old auntie and she got no one to spend on, then she'll start spending on this boy. This boy will say, mommy, who's that old auntie? The mommy will say, I also don't know. But then they'll see a check. Then they will see a gift. Then they will see Lord gifts. Then the boy will say, why I got all of this? And the mother will just say, because you resembled someone she loved. So to say that exact example Allah Tabarakallah has made for the people of this ummah. That you only have to resemble the beloved. In your words, in your looks, in your thoughts. That's all that me and you need to work towards, and it's something not hard. To say Mawlaya salli wa sallim. To say Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad. Then to look. It is to put on a turban, to put on a topi. It is to make sure there is a beard instead of not being a beard. It is to make sure that the trouser is above the ankle instead of over the ankle. It's very few things. Very few things in the looks. For the woman is to make sure instead of being tight, it be loose. That is all. It's just that frame of mind, who I want to look like. Who do I want to look like? One will get me the praise of the world. But the world's praise dies the next day. Your friend will tell you, you look cool. Then they'll say, you look hot. Then they'll say, you look weird. And all the times you'll be smiling. You're happy like. You look crazy. That words are amazing words. You look wild. I don't know what more words come. All of it sounds stupid. And still the person gets more excited. More excited. But praise falls day and day. So either I look in a manner where I want them to praise me, but the praise gives no result. Or I look in a manner where I want to be under the gaze of Almighty Allah. That gaze does lot results. Allah grant us all tawfiq. We spoke about sunan because it means now our life must be like his life. He loved us to read the two rakats of Fajr. And then he said Ishraq. Meaning after the sun rises, we got right till Zawal time. Get two more rakats. The reward of it, he would say, like a Hajj and an Umrah. And one we explained, you came for the Fajr, that's a farz. But you made sure you got a Nafal also, you got an Umrah. It's not easy to get that two rakats because you're on your own. No one is doing it. But you think of the journey for Hajj and Umrah. And you think of the journey to the Musalla. Then you know the journey to the Musalla is easier than the journey for Hajj and Umrah. It is shorter, but it can get you that entire reward. Man's problem is me and you don't live with wuzu. Because we don't live with wuzu, to read two rakat salah at any time is very hard. If you got wuzu wherever you are, you just say Allahu Akbar, just hold on my two rakats. I need my Umrah. Imagine you tell a person, just hold on, I'm making Umrah. He says, how can I hold on? How long will Umrah take? It takes 2 minutes. I say, Umrah for 2 minutes. I say, Allahu Akbar. So fast. Then there was, as soon as midday starts, 4 rakats we needed. 4 rakats. And most of us are doing that. It was called Mu'akkad. Who will be able to get that 4 rakats as soon as the day starts, then the doors of the heavens open up for him. The skies open up for him. Meaning Allah's tawfiq for the rest of the day starts coming. So you got your 4 rakats. After the zuhr, everyone's in the masjid, we read our 2 rakats and then we go away. Nabi Sallallahu said before Asr, Allah have raham on that person who can get something before that Asr. You can get 2 rakats, just get 2 rakats. You can get 4, better. You are here earlier than everyone else, you read 4 rakats, read little Quran in it. There was a person who passed away. And he made a wasiyah, only that person must make my janaza, who has never looked at the sky except with wuzu. Who has never looked at the sky except with wuzu. So there could have been a couple of people, very few people, but you get couple. But it was the second one that was the one that was the killer. That a person from the time he became mature, he never missed his four rakat sunnat ghair mu'akkada before asr. That was the killer one. That made everyone quiet. Even the scholars, the ulama, the mashayikh, everyone. And then now the people are waiting that who is that person? And then the king stood up. The king stood up. And angrily he said, that why did he let my secrets out? Why did he let my secrets out? And the king came and he just made Allahu Akbar. And everyone was shocked. Imagine, you're not the sheikh, you're not the alim, you're not anyone, you're the king. But a king can also be a man who made wudu, never looked at the sky without wudu. And with all his work, he put it in his mind from young. If you do it when you're young, a day might come where you will say, I never missed that. I never missed it. Nothing is easy, but for those who Allah makes things easy, things can become very easy. So if you all can say, imagine one day I can pass away and I can write in my wasiyah, that student, I don't think no one will make my janazah. And maybe one student will stand up and say, why he let my secrets out now? Why? Never walked outside except with wuzu. Never missed my four rakats before asr salah. And Allah is the one that gets tawfiq. Remember, as we're mentioning every day, the best is for shabun nasha'a fi ibadatillah. Whatever we're mentioning, when you get old, man will always think, when I get old, I'll do lot. When you get old, you're not free anymore. When you get old, you don't have that strength anymore. It is a young person who got strength. And you people know your strength. That you're half dying in class. But as soon as off time comes, our life comes back. Immediately. And they tell you, go make taylula. They say, go sleep. Please go sleep. Please go sleep. Say, I'm not tired. Say, how can you not be tired? The whole world is tired. You woke up, so I'm not tired. Where that strength came from? So you just got to know, when you're young, a person, when he got shock for something, can find the strength. And whatever you will put as an adat when you're young, that will not leave you when you get old. That will not leave you. Ulama have mentioned what you will do in your free time. You will do it when you graduate. What you will do in your free time, you will do it when you graduate. Must think about that. Mustn't be when you graduate, I ask where those boys are, what they did in life. And they'll say, he became a table tennis player. Then I have a major problem. I say, what? Like, where he started, where he ended. So a little in your free time, little. That Ishraq Salah, that four rakats before Asr. When it was called Ghair Mu'akkad, it never mean don't do it. It meant there's more value if you do it because no one else is doing it. More value if you do it because nobody else is doing it. After the Asr will come Maghrib. Maghrib, two rakats, I know all of you read. But two rakats after that two rakats, I know no one reads. Because they're all then looking after the fire. Imagine the fire is like Iblis. So it's like two rakats for Allah and then two for the devil. So now I'm going to mention to you one narration. After the Maghrib Salah, you got two rakats. Allah give tawfiq, you push yourself for a further two. Further two is not so hard. Further two. And there could be another two after that six, but I'm only asking you for a further two. So the narration comes. Mursal means where Tabi'i narrates that that person who will read after the two of Maghrib another two. So he gets four rakats after the Maghrib. Allah Tabarakala will raise him into the stage known as Illiyin. Innal Abarara lafi Illiyin. Indeed, the selected slaves of Almighty Allah will be in illi. Illi means from ala, ula. Illi means in the highest mansion. Innal abrar lafi illiyin. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one narration, it comes that he said to Sahaba radiallahu anhum, that you can see that very far star. They knew the stars. So a very far star. He said, can you see that star and how we are looking at it? He said, people in one stage of Jannah will be looking at a star like that. But that star will not be a star. It will be another stage in Jannah. It will be another stage. Now obviously the higher you get, the better it gets. So Sahaba radiallahu anhu looked at that and said, that's a very high stage must be. That for the people of the lower stage, it's only a star. Very high stage. That's when they said, that must be the stage of the Anbiya. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no. People from my Ummah, who will believe in me, wasaddaqu, and will testify to the truth. People from my Ummah. Allah tabarak ta'ala make us all from that. That high stage is known as innal abrar lafi illiyin. There will be very high stages for the selected servants. One narration comes that a person after two rakats, if he reads another two, he will be elevated towards illiyin. He will be elevated towards illiyin. And Allah is most kind. It is only two extra rakats. The fire will carry on burning. But very few people after two will say, let me try two more. But if you know how high we're going to go with two more. How high. And Allah is the one that gives tawfiq. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyil kareem. Wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Walhamdulillah.